We've been working in our Wednesday night fellowships the 40 days that Jesus Christ was on earth in his resurrected body, right? And Judy had a wonderful sharing last Wednesday and dealt with the burial and the earthquakes and the Marys and situations that happened right at the beginning there where they discovered he was gone. He was resurrected. But it was 40 days, and it's interesting in the scriptures, numbers have significance. And the number 40 is significant of a period of time of trial or testing. Now, can you think in the Bible where you've seen 40 before? Because this is a testing, a trial that Jesus Christ is proving himself to be raised from the dead 40 days in his resurrected body. People ask, well, why 40 days? Why not 50? Why not 100? Why not 5? There's significance in 40 because it was a testing. It was a proving of his being raised from the dead 40 days. Anything else in the Bible?
40 years in the desert.
So 40 years in the desert, the Israel, children of Israel, out of
40 days of
Egypt.
Temptation.
The temptation, 40 days.
Moses was 40 days outside of Egypt before he came back.
40 years.
Also up on the Mount Sinai for 40
days. He was up on the Mount 40 days.
Did he leave Egypt? He was 80 when he returned.
Right, right. So 40 is significant. Jonah and Nineveh. There we go. Jonah and Nineveh. So I'm sure there's some others as well, but pretty neat how God's word fits with the mathematical exactness. Uh-huh. And as they say, a scientific precision. So I'm going to be sharing out of Jesus Christ, Our Passover by Dr. Werwol as we look at this period of time. And we're going to kind of overlap here a little bit. And I'm on page 334. And I know some of the believers have this book. But I'm starting right here in this one paragraph. As of yet, Peter still had not seen Jesus Christ himself. Okay, so Mary's seen him, but she, what does she do? She runs back. Mm-hmm. And it was Peter and somebody else.
Peter and John.
Run up there. So, however, he was astonished by the clear evidence that Jesus was really risen. Peter had been with Jesus throughout his ministry. He had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. He had heard Jesus predict his own death and resurrection. He had already seen the empty tomb with the grave clothes. So he did go back and see that, but he did not see the Christ, you know, the resurrected Christ physically yet. He had already seen the empty tomb with the grave clothes. Now he had heard the women's testimony that they had seen him alive. Peter, after going to the tomb for a second look, began to fully realize the women were right. They always are. That was my comment. Jesus Christ indeed was risen. He left marveling within himself as he considered the spectacular implications of what had occurred. It was still Sunday, the 18th of Nisan. And in Mark 16:12, it says, after that he, Jesus, appeared to another in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now that Jesus appeared in another form, indicating the variability of his resurrected body, the details of this walk and this appearance are greatly expanded in the Gospel of Luke. It's a beautiful record worthy of our study. So Luke 24, 13 through 16. If you want to go there, I found a little video on this, so I'm going to play the video, and I think they read the section that we're looking at. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread.
That's it. So it's interesting to note that Jesus in his resurrected body didn't go to some heavy-duty leader, some political figure, but two regular, wonderful believers that were going home from Jerusalem. And what did he do? He shared the scriptures with them. concerning him. That must have been amazing to hear the Lord Jesus Christ teach the word in the Old Testament that referred to his life and his redemptive work. Pretty amazing. I mean, they were walking for hours, I'm sure. So they got a long, beautiful lesson from the Lord himself. And also, isn't it interesting to note his ability in his resurrected body, that he was able to kind of show up and disappear. So, and yet he, you know, he looked the form of a person. And so we'll see, you know, further down the road here, we got 39 more days. Something to think about in life. At some point, we're going to have spiritual bodies like his spiritual body. And we can get a clue maybe on how, what that is for us in the future. Well, little did Cleopas know that Jesus Christ was the one walking with him. They had not really understood and believed the prophecy of his resurrection. The women remained unconvinced when they first saw the empty tomb and heard the angel in the sepulcher. Finally, they believed after seeing two more angels at the sepulcher. In returning to tell the men, they found that none of them would accept what they had to say. The men treated them as if they were talking nonsense. Now Cleopas and another disciple, on their way to Emmaus, conversed with Jesus face to face, knowing they were oblivious to the reality that it was he. Jesus let the conversation develop. This disciple related to Jesus how 3 days had passed since Jesus of Nazareth had been crucified, and how with passage of days they had given up hope. That is the reason these two men were sad and disillusioned as they walked to Emmaus. The two disciples had been with the other men when the women had come that morning telling their story. They had been among those who did not believe. In verse 24, reference is made to certain of the disciples who looked into the report of the women about the empty tomb. This cannot refer to the visit of Peter and the other disciple in John 22, verse 10, as that occurred before the women went to the tomb. It must refer to the disciples who visited the tomb after the women's report in Luke 24, 9 through 11. As in the record of Peter's second visit to the tomb in Luke 24, 12. These two disciples on the road to Emmaus still had not comprehended or believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead. The stranger, listening to them, finally reproved their unbelief. Mm-hmm. And he said in Luke 24, 25 and 26, "Then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" To enter into his glory refers to Jesus Christ entering into God's presence and presenting himself as the first fruits from the dead. And he goes on here in the book about verse 27, where he shares, beginning with Moses, and talks about the fellowship that they must have had. God's word spends more time on this resurrection appearance than on any other. Jesus Christ was the only person who had ever been raised from the dead to everlasting life. Yet he did not appear to men of great wealth or power. He did not appear to any kings. He did not appear to any of the recognized leaders of the religious establishment. Status high or low in one's earthly life is not a basis for receiving the greatness of God's word and blessing. Jesus Christ appeared to two simple disciples who were having a difficult time understanding the events surrounding the death of the man whom they had believed would redeem Israel and thereby be their Savior. You know, their eyes were open. The eyes that were open were the eyes of their understanding. They realized the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection, and while eating together, they finally recognized the person himself. What a startling, thrilling realization it must have been. They recalled how Jesus Christ explaining of God's word had caused their hearts to burn within them. With that great excitement, they went to tell the other disciples. And in Luke 24:33-34, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is indeed risen and hath appeared to Simon." These verses are extremely vital to our understanding. If we don't read them carefully, we can miss their meaning. Notice it was not the two disciples who gave the message that the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. It was the 11 and the others that were with them. Talking it over. In Greek, the word "staying" agrees in case with the 11 and them that were with them. It does not agree with "they rose up." So what had occurred? As the two disciples hurriedly returned to Jerusalem, they found some of the other disciples gathered there. Some of these disciples were already excitedly telling the others, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Simon refers to Simon Peter, the apostle. This is the only record in the Gospels informing us that Jesus appeared to Peter alone after the resurrection. The last mention of Peter was at the sepulcher. He had checked the tomb once and then heard the story of the women. Having gone back to the tomb to look again, he left marveling. Sometime between his leaving of the tomb, as recorded in Luke 24:12, and the arrival of the two men where the 11 were meeting, Jesus Christ appeared to Peter. This substantiates the record found in 1 Corinthians 15:4-5. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," Peter, "then of the 12. Returning to Luke 24, we learned that after the testimony of Jesus Christ's appearance to Peter, the two who had seen him on the road to Emmaus then told their story. And they, this agrees with "they rose" in verse 33, it is Cleopas and the other disciple, told what things were done in the way and how it was known of them in breaking of bread. Despite the wonderful testimonies being related, were the listeners believing any of it? No. This truth is further stated in the Gospel of Mark regarding the same situation. Mark 16:12-13. "After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into another country. And they went and told it unto their residue, neither believed they them." Okay, they didn't believe. It makes one wonder what God has to do to convince people.
Yeah.
By this time, all had been reminded that Jesus had said he would get up. All had heard others talk about the empty tomb. There was absolutely no excuse for any followers' unbelief. Yet, not only did the majority of disciples not believe, but they were also full of fear. John 20:19. Says, "Then the same day at evening, around sunset, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." The gathered disciples had closed the doors for fear of the Judeans. There had been Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and now two other disciples. who had been on the road to Emmaus, claiming that the risen Christ had been seen. Yet none of their listeners believed. The disciples had been given the instructions to go to Galilee, but they had not done so. They were too bound by fear and unbelief. That was the context in which Jesus Christ made his next appearance. And we're going to John 20:19. Then we're going to go to Luke 24:36. If you're in Luke, you might as well stay there in chapter 24. But I'll read John 20:19. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now, Luke 24:36, and they, Cleopas and the other disciples, thus spake. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts or reasonings arise in your hearts?" Mark 16:14 says, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen." And then record in Matthew 28:9-10, "Behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail,' and they," the disciples, "came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, 'Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.'" The 11 of Mark 16:14 must have included both Peter and Judas, because we shall see that Thomas was not present to see the risen Christ. Besides the 11 apostles, other disciples were also present. Despite Christ's appearance in their midst when they were behind closed doors, despite his exhortation for them to have peace, they were still full of fear and could not believe it was truly he. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. How much proof and reassurance did these disciples need? Jesus Christ first reproved their unbelief and then let them touch him. Then he instructed them to tell the other brethren to go to Galilee where they could see him. So in Luke 24:39-40, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for the Spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. So that resurrected body has something to it. It's not just a spiritual material, but something more than that. John 20:20, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." He had to let them look at and touch him to convince them it really was he. They were so confused and perplexed. Jesus took all measures to convince them of his resurrection. Isn't that a great record? Mm-hmm. Now let's observe their response. Luke 24:41-44. "And while they yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, 'Have you here any meat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, 'These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me.'" Wow. Jesus Christ demonstrated that he could still eat. Mm-hmm. When Christ returns for us of the church of grace, we too will acquire a body like unto his resurrected body. This resurrected body is a body we know very little about, except for what we can observe from reading about Jesus Christ's body before his ascension. Our physical bodies now have life because of our souls, our breath. According to 1 Corinthians 15:44 and 45, our spiritual bodies will be energized by a life-giving spirit. Besides showing the marks of his body and eating with the disciples, Jesus Christ taught them about his fulfilling those things written about him in the books of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Among those things were his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, and his glory. His mission as the Passover lamb was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Also foreshadowed was the fulfillment of the Feast of Weeks known as Pentecost. For on Pentecost all was to be fulfilled so that believers would be able to receive power from on high, the gift of Holy Spirit. Pentecost was 50 days away, and it was about this that Jesus Christ was next to instruct them. And I'm going to stop there, okay? So we'll read more next week about his resurrection.